Hello, my name is Victor Kubik. I am president of the United Church of God. Welcome to Inside United. My wife Bev and I are here in the country of Malawi at this very moment, and with us is Brennan and Mikola Kiljan, who are ministerial trainees here in the country of Malawi, and we are here, my wife and I, Bev, visiting with them and visiting at their home. Welcome, Brennan.
Thank you.
Welcome, Mikola.
Thank you.
Brennan and Mikola are a young couple who wanted to do something overseas in outreach. And they came to me just before they were married and asked, is there any place that they could go in the world to be able to make a difference and to do something? Well, at the same time, I was sending Lewis and Lena Van Osdell to work here as the pastor of this church on a one-year assignment. And I thought to myself, well, this is almost a coincidence. They're going. Why not have Brennan and Mikola go and work with Lewis and Lena, see how that works, and perhaps they could do some good in the country of Malawi. And it has turned out to work out exceptionally well. Brennan, tell us a little bit about how is it that you and Mikola came to make this decision and make this choice to come and work here?
Well, it kind of came as a complete inspiration by God. I was working as an electrician in Colorado. I was engaged to my wife now, Mikola, and we were kind of struggling through life a little bit. You know, everything seemed so good for so long, and then all of a sudden, in these last couple of months, it started to go downhill. My jobs ended up starting to get, they were less and less. I was doing contract work as an electrician. It started to get less and less. And then at the feast, when we were at the feast, as you mentioned, we saw a video about India that was going around, and we decided right then and there that we wanted to go somewhere for about 1 month or 2 months to have a good experience after getting married. And we wanted to go over and help people and experience a different culture. And a year and a half later, we're still here in Malawi.
Well, Mikola, let us hear from you now. How did this all come to be? I might just add, too, that Mikola came here with us, or at the same time that we were here, in 2008 or so. And she came at that time. She was still a teenager at her family's home. So she knew Malawi, and she also came here another time. So she kind of knew what she was, at least what she would be facing. But tell us about just why you really wanted to come here. I mean, this is most unusual. There can't be one couple in 10 million that would do something like you're doing.
Well, like Brendan said, it was at the feast, and we just both felt so inspired to go and do something after seeing the India film. So we emailed some people and asked around, seeing what would be best. And then we got the response saying that there was an opportunity for us in Malawi. And I don't think I could have been more excited having gone there, like you said, when I was young. And then getting to go as a newly married couple. And while I did know somewhat of the country, we really didn't know what we were getting into. We were just taking it on faith and we were ready to go.
And then right after you got married, you came here.
Yes.
Literally, this is your honeymoon, this right here.
Yeah, it was about 1 month after. Yeah,
one month in the States.
We went to our actual honeymoon and then came to this one.
Yes.
Well, believe me, I was holding my breath to see if this thing is going to work. we didn't know where they would live. And, of course, you have to live in a higher security area here. You can't just get an apartment at any old place in town. And we were still looking for a place for Lewis and Lena Van Osdell. Found quite a nice place in a secured area with a security wall and so forth. And it worked out that Brennan and Mikola lived with them, and it worked out exceptionally well. So, my wife Bev and I were here last April. We thought to ourselves, well, it won't be long before Lewis is going to be coming back to the States. We really did need to have some structure and organization. We were building a new church building here, and the church pastor who was overseeing this area was 250 miles away. And even in the States, that's a long distance to be from a secondary church. And so I really wanted to have somebody here. And I asked Brennan would he be interested in staying on after the first year? By the way, I might mention too is that Brennan and Mikkola came here to work with no pay. They came here totally as volunteers and said that we want to come here, we have some money saved up, and we really want to spend a whole year at our own expense and help out in a land like this.
When we were first coming here, you know, it wasn't an assigned role at all. So we just kind of had to make our own role. And then, of course, Lewis and Lena, they didn't really know what to do with us either because, you know, we weren't assigned anything. So we ended up really just almost being ministerial assistants. That was kind of our role. We just helped them with whatever they needed us to do. Mikkola and I went with Lewis pretty much everywhere, virtually everywhere, every day, whether that was fixing cars, getting things for the church hall, going and watching over the building of the church hall. We went with him and took part in every single thing.
We felt like a large part of our job, after what Brennan said, we're going out and working on stuff. Our goal was to support them and help make them as productive as possible and just be there to support them.
Well, tell us about your impression about the people. Did you find it difficult to get to know them and relate to them? How did you find them? And you know, they were, how different were they and how similar were they?
Well, I was blessed with my previous experiences of being here, so everybody remembered me as the 12-year-old. So I already had a foot in into getting to know people, and for me it was just recreating old relationships. Like, there are some friends here I've had who I've kept in contact with for the past 10 years, and then now getting to live with them was exciting. I get to have that friendship in person instead of just through the computer.
And Brennan, how about you and the people that you've gotten to know? How did you find... Did you develop some personal relationships and friendships with people?
Yeah, it was very difficult at first to be able to reach out to people with the language barrier. Not so much the leaders of the church, and some of them, you know, speak a lot of good English, and it was easy to connect to them. But the members that were from the villages or they were deep in the bush, these members, it was hard to get in contact with, and when they would come to church, it was very hard to establish a relationship with. And we ended up, you know, we have started to learn a little bit of the local language, which has helped. But really, the experiences, that is what has allowed us to build relationships. You don't need words when you are experiencing things together and seeing the church grow together.
What are some of the challenges that people have? I know that economic certainly would be one of the biggest challenges. But what are some of the challenges that are different from what we have in the United States, and what are some of the similarities that people have in their lives with like you and me?
Some of the similarities, if I can start there, is that problems, no matter what form they come in, we all have them, and we all have our struggles. And just because, you know, I've dealt with things in my life and they've dealt with some things in their life, we can meet in the middle and try to figure those things out. Whether or not they're the same problem has nothing to do with it. We can deal with these problems. That's how we are similar. And then some of the problems that they actually have to deal with that I wasn't familiar with was, you know, things like the government never even giving them a start. You know, always trying to take from them, and that gets built into their culture, and it starts to spread throughout their mentality. And you can see why they struggle when they didn't get that positive start.
Mikkola, what about you and how you felt about similarities and differences?
In America, we're so used to there's always a public school, and everything about the school is completely free. Even if you can't afford lunches, the school will provide. But here it's very different. There are free government primary schools, but the education itself is free, but you still have to pay for uniforms, textbooks, and all the extra fees. So education is a huge challenge. It's a real big financial burden, especially when you're farther out in the country.
Brennan, tell us about some of your duties on the Sabbath as far as speaking, as far as any teaching that you do. Tell me about what types of subjects you discuss and how you make them relevant to the people here.
So some of the things that I have been doing just this past year is I've been giving most of the sermons and sermonettes. I think I speak probably about 3 sermons a month And then sometimes that pushes into about 6 times I'm speaking a month because I do sermonettes as well. Then also we have the new ABC style Bible studies that we've been introducing this past year. And I've been just going through some of the fundamental beliefs and the doctrines and really getting those ingrained in the people so that they can defend their faiths against, you know, the outside world. And then as far as speaking schedules, you know, I've been making the speaking schedules and taking care of the people when it comes to counseling or guidance in certain things or problems that they're having. So that's been my duties this past year when it comes to just to the congregation. What was the second part of the question?
Well, just what types of subjects are you covering in your messages?
Right now, we have a strong focus on Christian living. That has been a huge focus at the moment. A lot of these members, because they came in through booklets, they have a lot of the knowledge. They have a lot of the repeatable knowledge. So they can tell you some of the facts just because they read the booklet. But applying those principles to their lives, that has been a challenge. And making them want this to be their faith, not just a club or a class that they are going to. And that has been our focus this year, is getting people to realize that they are part of something bigger, that they are part of what we know is the truth.
There's one project that you've been talking about here the last couple of days that's been very intriguing, and that has to do with some farming that you wanted to talk about. And you have made it more than just a food raising thing, but an educational thing and something that would even involve young people in the church. Tell us about your farming plan. Here's Brennan, by the way, is from Los Angeles, Los Angeles area, about as much concrete around as you can imagine. And here he's taken a special interest in developing a farm program of all things. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so I never expected to be a farmer. That it's not something that ever crossed my mind. But there seems to be a dire need for something like this. What I plan, my dream, is that we can have a plot of land that we can use for a farm for the church. That way, we can have a part of the plot and part of the farm that can be harvested by the church, that can be watched over by the church, and can be tithed upon by the church, that we can gather and use that to fund different events for the church congregation, also to give them food when things are going through a drought, when the farming is going through a drought. They can rely on this farm to feed their families. Then also, on the other half of the farm, I want to do something along the lines of a teen outreach or a youth outreach program where we can teach youths how to farm that have maybe dropped out of school or they don't have enough money for school, and they can use this trade, learn this trade, so that they can be successful and they don't get into things that are common here in Malawi, like drinking, theft, and these types of things. So we want to provide a safe environment for them to be able to learn a skill that they can be successful in life.
Mikola, tell us about what you think about your husband's big dream.
I think it's big, but it's definitely doable. And I think it could be incredibly profitable, especially for the youth, as Brendan was saying, with all the negative influences, especially for kids who drop out of school at a young age. I really think that this would be a way to foster a family-type environment and really give them strong role models and just a connection to the church where they know that they'll always have support. And I think just having people work together for a physical goal, for something that we all need, and learning together how to do conservation farming is really going to foster a good environment for our congregation.
Brennan, tell me a little bit about some of your goals and tell us about what you want to take away when you go home, or what you want to leave, or what your vision is for the work that you do here.
So my overall goal for the church here in Lilongwe is to make it so that they are a self-sustaining church, not just physically, but spiritually. We want to get to them to a point where they can take care of themselves. They have their own leadership that can help them spiritually with counseling, with sermons, and really establish themselves as a church family spiritually. And then physically being able to sustain themselves during droughts and give them a means to fundraise for themselves. That way they do not have to rely on the states. They don't have to rely on the home office. And that in and of itself, being able to be self-sustainable spiritually and physically, will let other people around see what God's way of life does and that God's way of life works.
Well, that's certainly very laudable. How about you, Mikola? Tell me what you want to leave here with, and what do you want to remember about your days here in Malawi?
Well, I'm agreeing with what Brennan said about the sustainability, and something that Brennan and I have been working towards with that is building confidence. And a way that we've been doing that is working on translating the hymnals and the booklets with the help of one of our deacons and some of our church members. And that's something I'd really like to look back on and say that the hymnal is completely translated. People can read it in their own language and have the confidence that, yes, this faith is theirs. They don't need to be Americans to have this faith, but God is a God of all nations.
That's wonderful. Well, I just want to say that my wife, Bev, and I have thoroughly enjoyed our time with Brennan and Mikola, just spending time talking in a free flow and talking about the work that they're doing and talking about what they'll be doing here for the foreseeable future. So we want to thank you very much for your service, for the fantastic example that you set, and also for some of the very meaningful changes that are not only going to take place in your life, because this is not about your life necessarily as much as it is for the life of the people that you're serving. And we really appreciate their looking forward and reaching out and thinking of others. I've just really been pleased with that. So anyway, thank you for joining us here on Inside United. We have really appreciated talking to you and having you share some of your thoughts. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us Inside United. We hope that you'll come back and join us again soon.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.